We've been talking over the last few weeks about the idea, the big question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it really, really mean to follow Jesus? Because if you come in from just observing religion and religious people and churches and what people who appear to be religious and appear to follow Jesus, what they do, then you would easily come to the conclusion that following Jesus means being a good person who's saved, who goes to church. But then if you look at what Jesus says, he says something entirely different. He says, you have to give me your whole life, and you have to live for a purpose, my purpose. And by giving me your life and being like me, and that's what following me actually means. Look at Luke 9, 23. One of the many places, but this is the one we've gone to throughout this series, but one of the many places where Jesus says something very similar, Luke 9, 23, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, so if anyone would follow me, this is what it means to follow Jesus. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Following Jesus means to give our lives to change the world with him, to help other people cross from death to life, and to find a relationship with God. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And so as we went through this, we said, okay, why? And we talked, and I want to go back to this real quick since we're finishing, because we've talked a lot about in the last few weeks about what we do, how we do this, how we give our lives, and how we help other people find Jesus and find peace with God. We've talked about what we do, and just go back to the very beginning. And if you were here, remember, and if you weren't, let this serve as, you know, not for not being there here. The reason why we do this is not because we have to earn God's favor and God's love. The reason we do this is because God has loved us. And in Christ, he's come and he said, I want you to be my children. And he's loved us first. We love because he first loved us. He loves us. We receive his grace. We've received so much from him. And then he says, people who receive so much from me, their natural reaction is to say, okay, I'm yours. I'm all in. Whatever I have is yours. That's why we do this. This is not some kind of a legalistic, I thought following Jesus meant I had to go to church and I had to be good. And now I'm finding out it means I have to like give my whole life and everything I am and all my time and my money and my friendships and ever. I have to be focused on helping other people know God. And that's what it means. So that's like this huge list. I had a list before. Now I have a huge list. And I have to do all this in order for God to really love me and to be good with God. That's not the message of the New Testament. That's not the message of Jesus. That's not the message of this series. The message is God has loved us so greatly. And so the only proper response, what we saw in 2 Corinthians 5, go back and read that chapter. Paul talks about this, is the only proper response is saying he died for all so that those who live would live for him. It's because of his grace that we give all we are to him. So I want to end with asking the question, okay, if we are supposed to give our lives, everything we are, to change the world with Jesus, to help other people know God, what's the strategy? How does that work? Because I'm a strategy person. When we're going to do something in my house, I'm thinking through, okay, we're going to take a trip, so how are we going to, who's going to pack, and what do we need to take, and then when do we need to leave in order to be there at the right time, and how are we going to get through this, and what kind of shoes am I going to wear to get through the airport? Could I go barefoot? That would be easier. I've been thinking through all this strategy. How does it work, right? How am I going to take my laptop? Where am I going to take my laptop? Because depending on where you take, you have to pull it. It's just you think through the strategy. How do we work things out and make sure everything works out in it? And strategy is important. So I want to end this with saying, okay, what is this strategy? And if you're not a strategic person, maybe for you the question is, okay, if I want to follow Jesus, and if following Jesus is giving my life to helping other people know him, and so that other people will come into a relationship with God, maybe the question for you becomes, well, then what do I do when I get up tomorrow morning? How do I do that every day? What do I do? I want to look at what Jesus says his strategy is, because if you've been around churches for very long, you've probably seen many strategies come and go. This is how we're going to grow the church. This is how we're going to follow Jesus. This is how you can get your neighbor to finally repent and be baptized. We've seen strategies come and go, but Jesus actually left a strategy, and I think the reason why it's so easy to ignore his strategy is because it's very counterintuitive. It's a weird strategy. It's not the one I would have come up with, but I'm not Jesus, so I don't get to make the strategy. Our strategy, we'll look at in John 15, so you can go ahead and find that if you have a Bible. If not, there's one in the pew in front of you. John 15, our strategy, Jesus' strategy for how his followers will change the world with him, for how his followers will help other people know him, for how his followers will give radically of their time and of their money and of their in the relationship, how they will be laser focused on helping other people come into a relationship with God. His strategy, you want to know what it was? Was that his followers would every day get up and live lives throughout the day that are connected to him. It all goes back to being in a relationship with Jesus. And what we're going to read is Jesus says, it's in John 15, it's in the middle of, they just had the Last Supper, you know, the painting? It must have been a long supper because that was a long painting to do. So they had the Last Supper, and then they are going out to the Mount of Olives where Jesus is going to pray, the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus is going to pray. They're passing through the Mount of Olives, and as they pass through vineyards, Jesus then is teaching his disciples, this is what it's going to mean to be in a relationship with me. This is how you are going to do it. This is the strategy. And after this, he's going to go on and say, or before this actually, in John 14, 12, he said, by the way, if you believe in me, anyone who believes in me is going to do greater things than I did. He's giving them this vision, this you're going to change the world with me, some of the verses we looked at. And then he says, okay, here's how you're going to do it. And he says, it's all about being in a relationship with me. That's the strategy. That's what you get up every day and do. And when you do that, you will help other people know God, and you will change the world. Let's read the passage together. John 15, 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine. So you can imagine, have you ever seen a grape vine? My dad grew grapes. They were really bitter, but they were our grapes, so they were good. If you've ever seen a grapevine, you know, it comes up from the ground and it trails off, and if you put the right things up, it goes off, and then off the vine come these branches, and off the branches come, hopefully, right, so they come grapes. And so Jesus said, I'm this vine. I'm the actual true vine. If you can imagine, they're probably at this moment walking through all of the vineyards outside of Jerusalem. And so this is the example he's using. He's like, that's me. See the vines? I'm actually the true vine. And my father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's the one who makes it all work. Every branch in me, and you're going to see that phrase throughout this passage, in me, every branch. So he's saying, you are branches coming off of me, connected to me. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. He cuts it back. This is another teaching for another day, but something to think about today in the afternoon is that if you want to be fruitful in God's kingdom, he will cut you back. Have you ever had a rose bush or some kind of plant, and at the end of the season, what do? Chop it down. They call it trimming. That's a lie. You chop it. It's brutal. My wife has rose bushes that she chopped down last week. They were like nice and beautiful and beautiful roses. She chopped. They're this big now. I mean, it's chop them down. You pruned, and then throughout the year, you chop them. You prune them. Jesus says that's what God does. So if you start bearing fruit, if you start helping other people know God, you know what God's going to do? He's going to come into your life, and he's going to cut away things, good things, bad things as well, also good things. He's going to say, you know, do you need to watch 15 movies a week? Maybe 10 would be good. And then he's going to take things out of your life so you have more time and resources to help other people know him. That's the way it works. Again, another teacher for another day. Already, verse 3, already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide or remain in me and I in you. You see where he started in verse 2? Every branch in me. And then verse 4, remain in me and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, obviously, right? I mean, you see a branch disconnected on the ground, you're not going to expect grapes to come off of that. So very obvious illustration. If the branch can't bear fruit by itself, unless it remains in the vine connected, neither can you unless you remain in me. And then either his disciples were slow, or he thought we might be slow. Or maybe he knows Sunday mornings, you know, we get sleepy. So he says it again very clearly. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus' strategy for us to give ourselves fully to him and be like him and then help other people know him and change their world because they go from being a child of God's wrath, as we've talked about repeatedly, to a child of God's love, adopted and dearly beloved by the Father. His strategy for us being his agents of bringing his kingdom to this world and helping people know him, his strategy is live a life that's connected to me. Live a life that's connected to me. Every day get up and your job is to be connected to me. Your job isn't to go out and say, okay, how do I do this? How do I give more? And how do I help people know Jesus? And I have so many demands and I don't know how to balance it. And I feel guilty when I go to church because then they're telling me I need to be like focused on this. But I have to, you know, my bosses have to be focused on this. And my kids want me to be focused on this. And Jesus said, okay, that's your job isn't to figure all that out. Your job isn't to feel overwhelmed. Your job is to be connected to me. And then he says, if you are connected to me, you will bear fruit. And if you're not connected to me, you won't bear fruit. So to the degree that we're connected with Jesus, we will see fruitfulness in our lives. So first of all, what does he mean when he says fruit? Dissect the passage a little bit. What does he mean when he says fruit? I think obviously, he doesn't say, so I think that leaves it very broad. So fruit is changes in our lives, right? That would be fruit. As God comes into our lives, the Bible later on says that he sanctifies us, or he changes us. He takes the bad out and puts the good in. So instead of bitterness, we have love. Instead of worry and stress and always being just, I'm freaking out about everything, we have peace and calm and happiness. He changes us. That's fruit. But at its root, at its core, what is fruit? Fruit is multiplication. How do you get more grapevines? Well, grapes have to have fruit, and then they become more. It's multiplication. So I think at its very core, what Jesus is saying, because in the context, he's giving them, in these chapters at the end of John, he's giving them the commission, hey, you guys go out and help other people know me. And so at its core, fruit is when we multiply. When a Christ follower helps someone else follow Jesus more fully. When a Christ follower helps one of their neighbors who has no interest in God start to kind of awaken spiritually and say, maybe I do want to know more about that. That's fruit. When a Christ follower it talks with a coworker and they come to the point where they say, I want to make this decision you've been telling me about. I want to repent and be baptized and give my life to Jesus and say, you are my Lord. You are the boss of me. That's fruit. When someone who follows Jesus comes alongside someone else and says, okay, you've decided to follow Jesus, let me help you figure out what that means now as you live your life after you get out of the baptistry. Let me help you figure that out. And so let's get together every week and we'll read the Bible together and I'll teach you how to read the Bible. I'll teach you how to pray. I'll teach you how to fast. I'll teach you how to analyze your life through the lens of the gospel. I'll teach you how to not feel condemnation when you sin and you feel condemned and you need to know God's grace applies to you. And I'll teach you how to follow the Holy Spirit and hear the Holy Spirit as he leads you away from that sin. I'll teach you. So what does all that sound like? Fruit is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? The Great Commission. Go and make followers of everyone, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I've... That's what fruit is. It's us helping other people follow Jesus and helping each other follow Jesus. That's what fruit is. And Jesus says, if you are connected with me, you'll do that. And if you're not connected with me, You won't. So as we look at our lives, and even as we've gone through this series, if you look inside of you, you're like, well, I don't see a lot of that fruit. I don't see that my life is full of me helping other people. I barely follow Jesus. And then I look, I'm not seeing how I'm helping other people, even my family or my wife or my husband. I'm not helping other people follow Jesus. What's wrong with me? And Jesus would say, oh, nothing's wrong with you. You just need to be more connected with me. Or you say, well, what do I need to do? You need to be more connected with me. If you are connected with me, see, that's the root of it. You say, well, but I am connected with you, Jesus. I go to church on Sunday. I'm a good person. I am connected. I even read my Bible sometimes. I'm connected with you. I'm as connected as I think anybody really is. You say, well, actually, the proof, the evidence of you being connected, of your level of connection with me is the fruit in your life. So the less fruit that you see, no matter how connected you feel, that's a sign that not as connected as you maybe feel. And so you need to become more connected. And as you become more connected with me, what? Well, there'll be more fruit. So Jesus' strategy is us living lives connected with him. Sounds simple, right? That's a yes question. It does, and it is. It is. That's why this is not the main church growth or Christian growth or discipleship strategy that you ever hear at a conference or in books, because it's way too simple. It doesn't fill up a conference. It doesn't fill up a book. It's not a plan to build the church on. But this is what Jesus says. It's a strategy. It's us being connected with him. That's it. So practically speaking, what does that look like? How do we live connected to Jesus? How do we live, he says, in me, remain in me, abide in me? How do we live connected with Jesus? I want to talk about just some practical things, and then we'll see how that applies to each one of us, not individually. We'll do it ourselves, right, at the end, and then we'll be done. How do we live in community with Jesus? Well, connected to Jesus, first of all, we have to enter into a relationship with Jesus, right? It's early on a Sunday morning. We have to start simple steps. We have to enter in, right? So, throughout the book of Acts, after the book of John, after Jesus went back to heaven, any time that people came to him and said, I came to Jesus through his disciples and said, I want to be in a relationship with Jesus, they said what? Repent and be baptized. Repentance is make a mental decision that Jesus will be your Lord. That's all. They don't say go and pay for everything you've done in the past and totally get your life cleaned up. And then no, they say, repent. Decide that from this day forward, Jesus will be your Lord. Repent. Turn to Jesus. Say, you are my Lord. And be baptized. Make a decision with not just internally but externally, showing, hey, this is the decision that I'm making right now. I'm deciding to follow Jesus. So believe and confess and repent and be baptized. Repent and turn to Jesus. Repent and be baptized. You have to enter into the relationship with Jesus. So if today you say, well, I don't really feel that connected with Jesus, if you've never made that decision, if you've never repented and been baptized, the reason you many times don't feel connected to Jesus is because even though you're seeking him, you're not connected to him. And so the first step is to make that decision. After you make that decision, how do you remain? Because he says, abide in me, remain in me, stay connected. How do we remain in him? How do we deepen the level of connection? Well, mostly by communication. We listen to him and we talk to him. That's how any relationship is deepened, right? If you have teenage children and you see them talking a lot more, whether it's, you know, through a screen or face-to-face or over the phone, talking a lot more to someone of the opposite gender, what do you know? There's a relationship deepening there, right? Because communication is how relationships get deeper and how we remain in relationships with people. When husbands and wives don't talk very much anymore, what do you know is happening? The relationship is drifting, right? And how do you fix that? Well, you start communicating more. Communication is, and so that's why Jesus, look what he says. Let me find the verse. I think it's verse 7 in John 15. If you abide in me, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus is saying it's the way me being in you and you being in me, my words being in you, it's all the same thing. That's what it means to be in me. It's you have to listen to me. You have to talk to me. So throughout the Bible, there's these references. In 2 Timothy 4, for example, or 3, Paul says, all scriptures God breathed, and he's useful for teaching. It's breathed out by God. It's God's word. It's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's words are how he talks to us. It's what he breathed out. Jesus said, if my word remains in you, then you remain in me, and we're connected. And so if you say, well, I want more fruit, when it remain more in Jesus, how do you do that? You get into this. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 say, this word of God is living and powerful, living and active. It does something. God speaks to us and moves in us when we read. Well, why do you think a common experience is sometimes when we read this book is that it's very boring and it's like I can't hardly focus and I'm thinking of everything else and I just want to get through it a little bit so I can say I did it and I'm not going to feel guilty later on. Why is that? It's because our spiritual enemy knows that God speaks to his children when we read this. That the living connection, us remaining in Jesus, is deepened when we listen to Jesus. He does everything possible to stop that. So what do? We fight with this book. We open it up and say, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how boring it is. I don't care. I'm going to dive into this until I hear from God, until it splits open and it becomes living and active for me. Because that's the promise I'm holding on to. God says this is living and active. So it may be boring and dead right now, but I'm going to keep reading over and over and over again the same passage until it becomes living and active. It splits open and God talks to me. That's what we do. We listen to Jesus, because when we listen to him, his word stays in us. So if we want to be in a deeper relationship with Jesus, it all has to do with us not just getting up in the morning and reading. Oh, we should do that. We should start out the day with this. Before we eat, we should start with this. But that, not just to get it out of the way, but because that's what we're going to do throughout the day. I don't eat breakfast and say, well, I've eaten today. Don't have to do that for the rest of the day, thank goodness. No, I say, I've eaten today. I can't wait for lunch, because lunch is going to be even better than breakfast. It normally is. So that's what we should do with this. Every opportunity, we should always be looking for a way to grab it. There's something I want to read. We should be people of this book. We should make ourselves be legalistic, not with other people. Be legalistic with yourself. Say, I'm going to make myself be into this. I'm going to take a diet of TV for a month if I need to. Nothing on a screen. I'm going to just dive into this and spend all my time fighting for this to be living and active and my relationship with Jesus to blow up and to be what it should be. We should be people of this book, because that's how we remain in Jesus. We listen to him. But as you know, communication doesn't just go one way. We remain in Jesus as we talk to him, right? So that's why in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, pray without ceasing. What is he saying? I never understood that verse till a few years ago, when everybody started having their phones in their hands and they talk to each other without ceasing. It's like, oh, that's what it is. That's how we should talk to God. It should just be a constant stream of chatter. We should have times of focused chatter where we are on our knees, literally. In the mornings, we should start out with time with God and focused prayer for other people and for ourselves and for our family and for the people we're going to see throughout the day and the things that we need and the things we want. We should have focused prayer. And then as we go through the day, we should just be talking to God. He should be the first one when something bad happens, the first one we talk to before we pick up the phone and send somebody else a text. Talk to him first. He should be the one we communicate with. That's part of remaining in him and having that living connection. And then one that is not talked about a lot and for obvious reasons and for the same reasons, not very popular. If you look in Mark 2:19, Jesus' question about why his followers don't fast. Real quick, everyone knows what fasting is? Not eating for a certain amount of time, maybe. Normally not eating, but not doing something, but normally biblically it's not eating for a certain amount of time. Maybe a meal, maybe a week's worth of meals, whatever you feel led to. Not eating for a certain amount of time, maybe a day, whatever, and using, instead of eating, using the intensity, the focus that hunger brings to to bring more intensity to our prayers and to reading the Bible and to our communication with God. Jesus says, question about why his disciples aren't fasting. He says, well, I'm here. Why do they need to fast? I'm here. But I will soon be gone. And when I'm gone, then they will fast. So part of us being in Jesus and our relationship with him being deepened and fruit coming out of our lives is regular fasting. It's saying, I'm not going to eat today. And every time I get hungry, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to say, God, what are you trying to tell me? And I'm going to read the Bible. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get closer to Jesus. Because when I do, I follow him more closely. And when I do, there's more fruit in my life. And then the last one. Look at John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. You see that theme? He keeps saying, remain in me, remain in me, remain in my love. That's the theme of this section. If you, what does he say? Yeah, if you obey, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. He's not saying, he's not undoing the message of grace of the Bible. He's not saying, this is how you make God love you. You do everything he says. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, with the whole flow of the passage, he's saying the result of you being close to me, of you remaining to me, is you will obey me. You will obey me. And then as we obey him, we get closer to him. Have you ever noticed that? You're praying, you're reading the Bible, and then you have an idea or something you know you should stop doing or you should start doing or you should talk to someone or something you need, something Jesus is kind of pushing you to do, and you think, I'm not, and we start making reasons why we're going to do it later, and maybe it's not Jesus, and maybe it's the devil who wants me to go, you know, say I'm sorry to that person I offended last week. And we don't do what we know. And have you noticed that the intimacy with God kind of drops a couple of notches? But have you ever immediately done what you knew Jesus was telling you to do as you were reading and praying and then felt that connection with him? See, we stay close to Jesus when we enter into a relationship with him, when we talk to him and listen to him all the time, throughout the day. And then whenever he tells us to do something, when we just do it, he says, stop that sin. Start doing this thing. Talk to this person. When we just do it, when we obey him, it's a result of us being in a relationship with him, and it makes us be in a deeper relationship with him. So, where in your life do you see that, you know, I'm not remaining in Jesus? I'm a good person and I go to church, but I'm not seeing the connection, the relationship. I don't feel that. Or maybe you feel that, but you say, I know it could be so much more. Wherever you fall on that, what do you need to do to deepen your relationship with Christ? Now, for some of you, that is taking the first step and finally saying, Jesus is going to be my Lord. I repent. And letting one of the men here baptize you. Entering into that relationship with Jesus. For others, it's saying, I need to pull this out throughout the day. I need to make this I need to be the person who takes their Bible to work. And anytime I get a second, I'm reading this. For others of us, we need to start talking to God more than we talk to anybody else. For some of us, it's to go to that next level of intimacy with Jesus, intensity in your relationship, you need to say, I'm going to fast someday this week, and then pick a day and say, that day I'm not going to eat all day. And I'm just going to focus on talking to Jesus. And for some of us, there's something that he's told you to do, and you've justified it and avoided it and put it off, and you need to just do it and experience the intimacy with Christ that comes by listening and obeying. So what is it that you need to do? Let's seek after that relationship with Jesus. And as we do, he promises, your lives will be fruitful for me. Why don't we stand? I'll pray and then we will sing. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for offering us being able to be in a relationship with you. And God, we repent before you right now and confess that we do not take advantage of that. We look for the minimum that we have to do just to be good with you, and we don't often seek after a deep relationship with you, and you offer that to us, and it's a miracle. You're God, and we're your creation, and so God, I pray that, thank you for forgiving us of that, and I pray, God, that you would help us to seek after you in a fresh and new and powerful way, and that you would let us know what it means to be in a deeper relationship with you, and that out of that would flow fruit, and that fruit would be people who we love, who we are able to help know you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.